welcome this morning, just for a moment, yeah. Okay. I've got a couple of scenarios for you. The kettle's boiling, the TV's blaring, the kids are screaming, the baby's crying, the doorbell's ringing, and you cry out, "Lord, just give me a little peace." Anyone relate to that? Or maybe this one's you. The bills are mounting up, work's a hassle, the boss is demanding, the lawn is a jungle, and there just aren't enough dollars in the bank or hours in the day to do it all. You just can't relax, and the stress of life pushes you to the brink, and you cry out, "Oh, for a little rest." Relationships are tough, tense, cold. You're having trouble sleeping, difficulty communicating, turbulent moments, anxious thoughts. If only I could feel at peace in my own home. These scenarios are the experiences of life for ordinary people like you and me at different phases of our existence. It can be the busyness of life. It can be the difficulties of relationships. It can be the hassles of work and the restraints of time and budget that can really get us down. And so today we're wanting to look at experiencing joy in the midst of life's circumstances. As you know, we've been working through Philippians chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, just a word from each chapter. And so far, we've worked through a few. We looked at the joy of new beginnings in chapter 1. And it was our first Sunday, and it was a joyful new beginning for us. We looked at the joy in deeper fellowship as Paul instructs the Philippians as to the attitude they should have one to another, to be more Christ-like in the way they relate to each other. And so there's that hope and that vision for deeper fellowship. Joy in moving forward. Remember that key verse, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on to reach the goal to which Christ has called me heavenward. So today we're looking at joy in life's circumstances. And one of the key verses is verse 4 that simply says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. But today as we look at the issue of joy in life's circumstances, we're also going to be looking at peace in life's circumstances. Because you can't really separate the two. It's interesting, in Scripture, as in life, joy and peace often go together. How often do we really experience exuberant joy when we lack peace in our hearts, peace in our relationships, peace with God, when we don't feel at peace with the world or with ourselves? And so we see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Or in Romans 15, Paul says to the church at Rome, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." The two go hand in hand. In fact, joy is often the byproduct of being at peace with God and at peace in our relationships with other people. It's very hard to have a deep sense of overflowing joy when we are not at peace with God, ourselves, and the world around us. And so, whilst we are still talking about joy today in this ever-joyful book of Philippians, we're also talking about peace. Real peace, inner peace, God's peace today. So if you've got your Bibles there, you can turn open to Philippians chapter 4. The words will also be on the screen, and we're just going to read about 6 verses. And we're going to look at those and discuss those and highlight the thoughts behind some of these verses this morning. Verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." If you are singing along to me, you've been in church a long time. And if you're singing along with me, you probably wanted to break it into a round. Remember? And you had some singing at different times. "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice." rejoice, rejoice. This is what Paul was saying to the Philippians about the joy in life circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so today we're looking at God's peace, which leads to his joy in life circumstances. The first type of peace that we see talked about in this short passage of Scripture is right there in the beginning in verse 4, is that this is a rejoicing peace in turbulent times. In chapter 1, we talked about the beginning of the Philippian church, and they were turbulent times. It started with a lot of activity. All sorts of things were happening as the church began in Philippi. Acts chapter 16 is where you read about it. You know, there were gates of jail cells flinging open. There were demons being cast out. There were people becoming saved, and a new church began in Philippi, in Macedonia. And there were turbulent times, and there was rejoicing in the Lord right there in Acts chapter 16 as they sang hymns whilst they were in prison and saw a great miracle. But the word for us here is to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The message puts it a little differently. Try to make us think about this for a bit differently. Celebrate God all day. That's rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate God all day. I mean, revel in him. This is what this scripture is saying to us. The greatest joy in life is not in the circumstances of life. The greatest joy in life that we can experience is a joy in Christ. And so the instruction here is for us to rejoice not in the circumstances, but is to rejoice in the Lord. In all, and when we say rejoice in the Lord, all of the goodness that is in the name of the Lord, the name of our Lord's grace and his peace and his love, his mercy toward us, his forgiveness that is ours, his hope that is ours, his provision that is ours, all of the blessings that Ephesians chapter 2 talks about having every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. So when we rejoice in the Lord, we remember that there is so many spiritual blessings that come from drawing close to him. And so if we just base our lives on the circumstances of our life, there will be some days where we're happy and some days where we're sad, and we're all going to experience those emotions, won't we? We're going to have days when we're sad because of the realities of life that really hit hard and hit home, where there's loss, where there's grief, where there's pain. And there's going to be days when we're happy because things are going well for us. But when we have a relationship with God, we can experience a deep, abiding, and exuberant joy even in the midst of very difficult circumstances. The joy that's being talked about here, rejoicing in the Lord, isn't dependent upon circumstances. I remember being at church at Mount Clear Church of Christ as a young minister on the Sunday morning following a Friday night like no other. On this Friday night, we were having a prayer meeting, and while the prayer meeting was on, someone came into the church and said, one of our young guys, Craig, had been in a major accident. He was a motorbike rider, and he'd run into the back of a truck, and he was in a coma in hospital. He'd been rushed down to Melbourne Hospital. And things were looking really grim. I mean, the prayer meeting got praying, and I went to spend time with the family. And that Sunday, we round up at church, and the worship leader had chosen all of these really happy clappy songs, you know, rejoice in the Lord always sort of songs, you know, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God. And most of us weren't feeling all that joyful because one of our beloved, he was a band member, a young guy in the church, was on death's door in a hospital room fighting for his life. We weren't rejoicing in the circumstance, the more we sang. And as we kept on singing, as we kept on joining together and praising God together, my heart lifted, my faith strengthened. And I realized that we're not singing happy songs because life is all good, but we're singing happy songs because God is all good. God is good all the time, and it lifts us a little bit out of despair, out of hopelessness, out of pain when our joy is in the Lord. We hold that tension of the realities of the circumstances of life that can weigh us down and holding on and trusting in a God who gives us a deep and abiding joy, which can also overflow into exuberant joy when we rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances of our lives. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 is another familiar tune. For those who have been in church a while, though the fig tree does not blossom, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. It sounds like the experience of many of our farmers out west during the drought. There's just nothing growing. It just seems so desolate. Verse 18 says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And so you see there is a rejoicing in the Lord, not in the circumstances of his business or in the farm. Now, many years ago, I penned a modern version of Habakkuk chapter 3 for those who are not out on the land. It goes something like this. Though my headache feels so rotten and the week's been such a grind, the interest rates are rising and the bills are mounting high, though I lose my job or pension and there be no money in the bank, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. The joy comes. It's a rejoicing peace that we can know in turbulent times when we put our trust in God, when we rejoice in Him, when we find joy in our salvation, joy in our hope, joy in the spiritual blessings that come through knowing Christ. But secondly, as we go on through Philippians chapter 4, we read about a relaxing peace intense times or in anxious times. I love this verse. We're going to read in a moment. But anxiety and stress are such common themes for people today. Perhaps we've given them that label because they've always been a part of the human experience. These things are so real. Paul is addressing real issues that real people face every day. He is writing to Christians in the first century who also understood the strain and tension of everyday life, and these words are preserved for us today because we feel anxiety and tension and stress at times in our lives too. And to this issue, I am so thankful that these words were penned. Verse 6 and 7 of Philippians chapter 4 have always been very meaningful to me. These are beautiful words. Now listen to them. Do not be anxious about anything. It reminds me a little bit of Jesus who in Matthew 6 says, do not worry about anything. But I'm so glad that it doesn't finish there because it's too easy to say, oh, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. Don't stress. Don't worry, be happy. But it goes on. Not just a don't, not just a blanket statement, don't do this and don't do that. The Bible goes on. It doesn't stop there. There's a strategy. There's a way out. There is something that can help us in the midst of the stresses of life that we experience, things that make us feel a bit anxious and a bit worried about stuff. And so he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, whatever the circumstances, everything. I remember having a new Christians group, an Alpha course, and we asked people who had prayer points, and the guy was having knee surgery, and he says, yeah, but God wouldn't be worried about my knee, would he? He was just discovering Christianity. He says, there's more important things in the world to be praying about than my knee. And I said, be able to say to the guy, no, God is interested in your knee, brother. He cares about us. The Bible even says, believe it or not, that even the hairs on our head are numbered. God doesn't have to do much counting for some people. He knows us intimately. He cares about our lives. We matter to him. Sure, there are big problems in the world too that also need to be addressed, but it does matter. We can bring in everything, whatever is causing us concern or worry or anxiety, the stuff of life, everyday realities of life, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And don't forget that bit. We don't rush in and say, God, give me this, God, give me that, God, help me here. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful verse? It's not just a verse, it's a promise of God. That when we present our needs to God with thanksgiving, that he promises his peace. Yes, there's the promise of answered prayer, but this is the promise of peace, inner peace. In the midst of our struggles or our worry or our anxiety. God's peace is different to world's peace. True peace isn't found in positive thinking or even the absence of conflict or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. Our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure, our destiny is set, and we can have victory over sin. These are the things. It's God's peace based on who he is and what he has done. And it transcends human understanding. I do sometimes like to read in other translations. And so in the Message, a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, it puts it like this, don't fret or worry. Okay. No, instead of worrying, he says, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Isn't that a great line? It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So Eugene Peterson is tapping into the words of God, but putting them in a way that we can really understand here. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Ever have times when you really need God to sort of come and settle you down? You know, feeling uptight, feeling worried about things, anxious about things. Could be anything in our lives. I know I experience that sometimes, and how good it is to be able to take a moment to bring it to God and let God's peace settle us down. I remember visiting a lady in hospital when I was a young minister back in Ballarat days, and her name was Christine, and I think she'd had bad news from the doctor. And she was a lady who quite often got a little worried about things that were happening in life, and I remembered she was shaking. She was literally, her body was shaking with the worry about her an enlarged heart or whatever the issue was at the time. And I remember just sitting with her, took her hand and opened the 23rd Psalm, and we just gently and calmly read through, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And by the time the prayer was finished and the reading had finished, Christine wasn't shaking anymore. It was like God's Spirit had come and settled her down. Brought a peace that was beyond human understanding. It wasn't that the doctors had come in and given her something else by intravenous medication. It was just that an awareness of the presence of God brought a calming, brought a peace. something that we all need at times in our busy lives, where we turn off all of the things that distract us and sit for a moment and practice the presence of Christ. This verse, Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, was meaningful for Wendy and for myself. When our son Josh was just three years old, I think he was, we took him for his regular checkup at the optometrist, and the optometrist assistant looked really worried. And she went and conferred with another optometrist and came back and was just doing a regular checkup. Our son was only 3 years old, little Josh, and she was worried because she realized that he couldn't see through one eye. So she, before she'd even spoken to us again, she'd rung the ophthalmologist and organized an appointment for us with a specialist to go and get him checked out. She said, you know, you don't know what's causing this. And the ophthalmologist said, look, there could be all sorts of explanations for this. This could be, you know, there could be a neurological condition. There could be a degenerative disease. And for the next 2 months, we had appointments at hospitals down in Melbourne. We had times with the doctors in Toowoomba. We got all sorts of things tested out as all sorts of options were considered, and we felt at times a little anxious. And I remember putting these words, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, with a typewriter, because I think that's what I had back then, a typewriter on a pink cardboard sheet that we could put on the fridge with these words: do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the promise is that not only do we bring that to God and ask for his answers to prayer, but he promises his peace to get us through each day. Now, praise God, Josh didn't have a neurological condition or a degenerative disease, or alternatively, he was healed of those things through those times of prayer when he was 3 years of age. And he's now 28 and doing about his fifth degree down at the University of Melbourne in the area of psychology. But at the time, anxiety and worry about life circumstances was very real to us, just as it has been for you either today, this last week, or at some stage in your life. There have been seasons, haven't there, when life's been tough. And it's at these times when we need to draw from God his strength, to allow him to minister to us, to ask his spirit to calm us and to help us through these times. And so we have a God who brings to us a rejoicing peace in turbulent times and a relaxing peace. A relaxing peace in anxious times. But we also have a God who brings a refreshing peace in confusing times or in tired times. Verses 8 and 9 are all about what we focus on. What we focus on. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Focus upon those good things. What are we focusing our mind on? Because this is another clue as to how we might experience the peace of God that leads to joy in life's circumstances. If we focus only on the problems, if we focus only on the negative, or do we focus on distractions? I think that's what our world is very good at doing. So when things aren't going well for us, we focus on the distractions. Entertainment, TV, booze, a whole range of things that can distract people from the feelings and the difficulties of life. And they don't help the issue, they just mask it for a short period of time. They give people a short out. And sometimes they even complicate the issue even more. And so God says, what are you going to focus your mind on? Are you going to focus on the negatives? Are you going to focus on distractions? Or are you going to focus on good things that help you to cope with the difficulties of life and help you to experience victory in your everyday living? See, psychologists talk about the human mind getting into grooves, getting into patterns of thinking, patterns of thought, and that leads to patterns of behavior. A theologian, William Barclay, puts it like this: the human mind will always set itself on something. And Paul wished to be quite clear that the Philippians set their minds on the right things. It's a law of life that if a man thinks of something often enough, he will come to a stage when he cannot stop thinking about it. His thoughts will be quite literally in a groove of which he cannot get out. Our brains get into grooves. So if we can train our minds to focus on good things, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, a good start is the Word of God. In times of worship and prayer, focusing on those good things, it brings focus into our confused lives. And it's a refreshing peace also in tired times. Think about this groove thing, though, for a minute. Think about when you learn to drive. When you're first learning to drive, driving a car, it's quite hard work. You have to think about dozens of things all at once. You're trying to think about putting the indicator on and putting the clutch in and when you've got to release the handbrake. And when a new driver is thinking about all of those things at once, an experienced driver gets in the car and drives from A to B, often without thinking for a moment about how they're going to drive. Because the mind has learned those skills. It's in a groove. Now, even with that groove, you still might be an experienced driver but put a big scratch in your wife's new car like I did yesterday in an underground car park. But you know what I mean, don't you? About a groove. I'll just sort of change that subject. And I was being so careful, still hit the pole. Anyway, we get in a groove. We get into a way of thinking. And we need to focus on the right things. Just another example on this is when our children would wake up with a nightmare in the night and years ago, and they'd be crying and want comfort. And we would often start telling stories about things like puppy dogs and kittens and rabbits and cute things and calming things to focus their minds away from the monsters or the whatever they were seeing in their dream. And it's amazing just by focusing the attention on something different, how it would often calm their anxieties and their worries and their needs. One of our children would come and say sometimes after a nightmare, "Can you come and pray the fear away?" And we would pray the fear away. And just getting our mind. In Isaiah, we read that thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Using the old language of the old versions. You know, God will keep in perfect peace people whose minds are stayed on him. So, look, we want to pretty much wrap it up. There's so much more we could say. But just remember that there is a peace that is offered to us, and it comes through knowing God personally, and it comes through practicing the presence of Christ, even in the midst of all of the difficulties of life. Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." He wants us to experience his peace. He wants us to know his peace through the circumstances of life, that there might also be joy that would bubble up and overflow and touch the lives of those around us with his joy and with his truth and with his love. So to finish the service today, I've chosen a song that I want you to sit for a moment. Just relax in his presence. This is an old song, but it's ministered to me over the years. And I just want you to sit back and let the words of this song wash over you about being in God's presence today. Because in his presence, there is peace. And we're in his presence now. You can be anytime, day or night. God is everywhere. But when we gather together in a place like this, we lift him up in worship. God is present. I pray that as you listen to this song, to these words, that God would wash over you with his peace. And at the end of that song, our band will come and just lead our final song, that you might know in this quiet moment, God's presence, God's peace, God's joy. Amen. Thank you.
In the quiet of this hour, as I kneel before you now, I believe your promise to be faithful. I don't what your perfect will demands, but I'll learn to trust you more in your presence, Lord, in your presence. There can be such sweet reward when we wait upon the Lord, as we take the time He gives His perfect wisdom to be found in Him.
I invite you to stand and join us for our last song. It's also an oldie.
Just quickly, if anyone would like prayer today, my wife and I would just stay at the front here for a little while and we'd love to pray with you. Perhaps there's circumstances in life you need to know God's peace and joy in the midst of, but we do believe that the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. And we pray that you would take that peace and joy into your week, into your world, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Tea and coffee out this door, probably some morning tea too. Share it with us. Stay and meet some new people. Tell them how you love Jesus. Have a great week. God bless you.